Yeah, my stuff here. Let me get organized again.
Oh, I didn't bring all your papers in, I don't think. You give me them all in.
Yeah, it's okay. I got the recorder turned on too.
Hey, hello.
No, I got it.
Good, how are you?
You ready? 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
All right. I'd like to call the March 12th, 2019 meet. Oh, Joel, are you ready?
Okay.
He's got it right. I'd like to call the March 12th, 2019 meeting to order. Request a moment of silence and the pleasure of the meeting.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Joel.
Okay. Bo Miller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay. I need the approval of the February 26th, 2019 meeting minutes.
Move for approval of those minutes.
And I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
I abstain, I wasn't here.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, fiscal officer's report, Joel.
Papers as usual, fund status report we'll start with. In our Star Ohio, we have $582,470.45. And our checking at Krogan, we have $117,444.46. We have a payment listing also in front of you. Payment warrant number 17401 all the way through warrant 17462. Totaling $66,078.17. And I have no deposits.
I got a question for Tony. Tony, was that heavy duty muffler? Was that all for that boat, that $700?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have a couple big bills this month with the electric for the fire department. They're complete.
Right? Yeah, okay. I mean the modifications.
Yep, and then yes. You bought some turnout gear, so that was expensive.
That you knew about.
Yep,
that was
knew that was coming
a while back.
And healthcare was paid out, so there were some big bills this month.
Joel, That grotto bill, was that for pumping down there by the coulee? Or?
For the rental of the backhoe.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Backhoe. Yeah.
That was the March rental, right?
Yeah. Shows fourth payment. I'm not sure when we started. Yeah,
we were thinking it started in December, but not sure.
I think Kevin's got it wrote down when we got it.
I think it started in December.
It did.
I'm pretty sure.
It did. December.
I move for approval of payment listing warrants 17401 through 17462 in the amount of $66,078.17.
I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sallar.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried. And the other thing I have is I'll start the 2018 audit. Obviously, I mentioned it, but now with things looking normal with, you know, for the year, I'll start getting those documents together and get them sent off. And I did ask Barb. She said that she would be happy to. That's not what she said, but I asked her to help me with some record keeping, just taking all the old files and just organizing them by subject matter versus by prior fiscal officers, just putting them in a drawer. So that's all I really have.
Yeah.
So you guys got any questions?
I can make a motion to approve the fiscal officer's report.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Fire Department Chief, you're up.
Well, hello, everyone. We just had our time change last weekend, so that's always the annual reminder about changing your smoke detector batteries. So if anyone has an issue or concern with a smoke detector or a carbon monoxide detector, give us a call. We'll be happy to help you out with that. And if you need some, we still have the grant partnership with Red Cross, and we can install some smoke detectors for you.
Chief, on that topic, we still have the that notice and invitation up on the website.
Mm-hmm.
When would you like that taken down?
Right now, it could still remain open yet for this year. My understanding with Red Cross, they still have plenty of them.
Okay, so let it go right on.
Just
right
let it
into.
Continue.
Okay,
yep.
All right, very good. We'll do.
Thank you. Wanted to share with you, we assisted Oregon Fire on Navarre Avenue last Wednesday for a structure fire, and all went well. They had a hydrant that was frozen that was the closest one to the house, and so they ended up having to take a hydrant much further away, and so we provided relay pumping and as well as pumping right at the supplying water to their trucks on the fire grounds. So, and then a couple of our guys also participated in fire ground activities. So I'm just real pleased and proud of everybody that responded, was able to do the job, and they were able to get a stop on the fire, and the structure's still standing. And of course, the homeowners still got to deal with rebuilding. But
was that the one on Route 2 near?
Yeah, that was the one on Route 2.
Yeah, had that road closed off for quite a while.
Yeah, we did. It was.
Okay, so. Well, thank you all for lending a hand and helping out. No loss of life or injury, I assume.
No, everything went really well. It was a little bit of stubborn fire. They had to chase it a little bit, but. That's sometimes the nature of the beast.
Well, thank goodness everyone is safe. Thank you.
I'm very pleased to report our new extractor, washing machine extractor, has been installed, and we will receive training next Tuesday from the supplier, so we won't use it until we get that official training. But it's really quite a nice piece of equipment. It's, you know, just the washing machine itself was right around $15,000, and but that's all paid for by Bureau of Workman's Comp. It's great, you know, the department is able to take advantage of these. You know, this is the second grant that we've received from them, and so we'll make arrangements for Bureau of Workman's Comp to make a visit to inspect the install. That's also part of the grant requirement. So again, I'm just pleased that that project has now, you know, come to an end, and everything we wanted to do with Yaki and company was provided. We, you know, the plymo vent got moved, the electric and the water, and Lucas County Building Department was out and inspected the plumbing and electrical, and everything passed with no concerns. So next item is we continue our planning for our 75th, and I just wanted to give you a rough idea that we're estimating a possible spend of about $1,500 to $2,000 out of our fire prevention to support this activity. Now, we will seek some funds from the association and see if they might be able to help out, but please remember this is a community day. We're looking to have a lot of fun activities. We're going to have a softball game, and we're going to use your rec field, by the way. And we're going to have some water activities, so I'll probably continue to talk about it because I'm really excited about this. I think we're really going to have a lot of fun. It won't be until July 20th. We're planning on having hamburgers, hot dogs, and drinks, and we'll really want to get the word out to really try and get our community to come and enjoy the day and have some fun with us. Doesn't look like we had a student tentatively enrolled for an EMT class, and it looks like the lack of students is not going to happen, so we'll have to be looking at other EMT classes a little further out, and that makes our candidates have to travel a little bit to go to these classes, but that's the nature of what's happening. We hosted a wildland fire networking meeting, which we invited State Park, the federal guys. We had the other neighboring fire departments, and it looks like we'll be hosting a wildland firefighter class. So it's for structural firefighters, as we are, to wildland firefighters. So it's about a 6-hour class. We're looking to host that in April, and I've already attended the class. It was very good. So, but this networking is now opening up some other grant opportunities that the Division of Forestry has for us. So one of the big changes that took place is when I took the class just a month ago, we were not in the Division of Forestry's jurisdiction as far as this part of Lucas County. It just changed, so all of Lucas County is now part of in the Division of Forestry's jurisdiction, so that opened up grants and education and other programs. So it couldn't happen more perfectly as to attend this class, find out about this, and then to expand on. If I wanted to provide you guys each one of these. These are flyers that we put together, or a trifold. It's a little bit about the department. These will be going out to the residents.
I think we saw these.
Soon we're gonna be. It'll arrive to our residents via the Suburban Press.
I think we saw these last month.
Okay,
with
I
the
just
draft
want to make sure you, that's the printed finished version now.
Very nice.
And everything looks good. And,
real nice.
Just go ahead and keep that. And
we thought. I think we all thought that it was very well done, and the 911 band, you know, the red band through the center, that really was very nice, very eye catching, and the background was kind of neat.
Off of the calendar view.
Yeah, nice, so, very nicely done.
Really,
yeah, that
really
was Josh Swanson that had really championed all of that and put that together. So I really appreciative of what Josh put together for us. The last thing I have is my assignment to report back to you was what we were looking at on potential financing for the trucks, and I'm still, I apologize, I do not have an answer yet. I've contacted a couple banks, and I've contacted a dealership to see what their view would be, and the dealership is kind of yielding away from it. He just feels that he's probably going to be higher than everybody else, but I'm trying to explain it clearly, and Joel will help me if I'm, you know, I'm telling him this is a public, you know, we're public fire department. You know, and obviously the vehicles you bought on state bid, but they said, well, they're going to have to talk to their commercial people. Okay, I don't know what that means to me. The cost of the vehicle isn't so exorbitant that it puts us out in the other field. So I'm just telling you.
There's different banking rules for personal banking versus business banking, and I think we're going to be classified as the business side.
Okay.
So there's different requirements, different hoops to jump through.
So that's where I'm at is mm-hmm. now connecting with the right person to talk to on the right area of concern that we have. So
I think we have to, like the
that dollar amount, it's over 40,000, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'd be over, yeah.
You know, are we required to have it go out financing for, you know, for Ben?
I thought it was 50 was the threshold?
Well, we were...
That was 50,000.
Yeah. That's something I should look just to make sure that's...
But we were under that
yeah.
we were under threshold. Proposals.
Because if that's good, then that'll free us up to just do it internally and solicit lending institutions, Krogan, whoever, right? Doesn't matter for a loan. But you don't have a final.
Yeah, both alternatives were under 50.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. Is I'm just waiting back for some information. So I'll report back on next meeting.
Okay.
And that's all I have, unless you have some questions for me.
Dave, you have any?
I just curious. Well, on those trucks, I wasn't here last time, but. I did some talking to people, and I disagree with the diesel myself, but I went to the General Motors today and talked to the service men there, and they just shook their head. If you're going to put on 25,000 miles a year, that's fine to have the diesel, but we're only going to put maybe 3,000 on max. And they said, well, you know, you're never going to get the diff hot enough to, and there's going to be constant problems there, and that's not under warranty when that stuff goes in. That's your problem.
I know, talking to Jim Wolf, their mechanic out in Sylvania was like the number one emergency technician mechanic in the United States like 2 years in a row now, and he was going to put together a proposal of why to go with the diesel. On that type of vehicle.
Maybe you guys should go over and talk to the guys at General Ford or even Ken at American Enterprises. All the reps there said no. There's a new Ford motor coming out, and it's a 7.3 gas. That they're bringing it out for the reason that they're having all this diff problems, just like the fire truck there, the ladder truck up when it was up at the docks. It went down for an hour. Why? Because it was sitting there idling, and the diff went off. Then he had to recycle the whole thing. It took him an hour to get that truck running. That's why we don't want a diesel. Mm. And they are coming out with that new motor, in July or August. And they brought it out for those. Everybody's having trouble with diesels. It's mostly the emissions, and they're going to put in the school buses and all that kind of stuff. The diesel's gone for a pickup. It doesn't make sense for us where a truck we're going to put 3,000 miles on a year to have a diesel sitting there. There's no way that we should do that. No way.
Okay.
So we're still not there yet. I think we still need to continue evaluating. I would appreciate, and I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, he was recognized in a recent magazine as, you know, the service mechanic for Sylvania,
yeah.
And that. So, I'm just still trying to weigh it all and there. But you know, I kind of want to see where we're at with this financing and mm-hmm. see where that had, also what influence that has with us.
Right.
So, okay. Very good.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Rec department. Mike.
Okay. Programming wise, everything's going fine. Boys basketball, and there's some volleyball finishing. Spring sports have signups have started, and those will be complete soon, which would be the softball and baseball and soccer. Moving on to the fields, we had some damage to one of our fences out on the baseball diamonds. Bo called this morning. He was out there, and I went out there and looked at it, and it looks like either a snowmobile or a four-wheeler ran into the poles. There's two poles that are damaged. They're both unusable. The two bottom poles are laying on the ground. Those look like they can be salvaged. I did call Hercules Marlowe, who put the fence up, and they'll have someone out there tomorrow to get a price. It's going to have to be fixed. I'm not sure how you guys want me to handle that. Should I just have them do it, or they've done all our fencing for since we ever used put fencing up?
It can't be that much. I'd just say
that. I wouldn't think it could be that much. It looks like they can still stretch the fence out, use that, and they'll send me an email tomorrow, and then when I get that, I'll forward it to.
So they're going to send you a. They're going to come out, take a look, and quote you tomorrow?
Yes.
That's actually your problem. I mean, you know.
It's your budget.
Okay. That's your budget.
So we'll just go ahead with them. And, okay. It looks like what happened. Somebody was coming from the field and hit the fence. So the one pole has bent up pretty bad. There are some pieces of plastic laying there, like from a four-wheeler or a snowmobile. And it looks like that it actually went over the fence because it looks like the impact was this way, but all the pieces are on the other side of the fence. So I left the pieces out there. I'll try to ask some questions and see if I can figure anything out, but I'm sure it's...
You could see some four-wheeler tracks out there, but they looked old.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of thought it was leaning more towards a snowmobile.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Because it wasn't
about, yeah.
Like it was fresh, tore up, you know.
Well... It's funny because when you called today, I was going to report today that the field still looked pretty good. Because every year someone goes through there.
Yeah.
But they still look good, but except for that. I'll get that taken care of tomorrow. Whenever you can schedule that, I'll just have to fix that. Since we're on this topic, we've also had some small other vandalism. There's been a broken drinking fountain at Win. There's been some graffiti at Jerusalem. They know that's from the rec after school programs. I talked to the phys ed teacher at Jerusalem and I told him he needs to tell me like the next day. As soon as he finds it, then we can pinpoint that. I mean, if you wait a week or so, if he tells me what happens, there's only, you know, 2 to 3 teams there, we can figure it out. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. And also I found out that they used to lock that door that went down into the basement, but now it's open, and kids are all over there. So that needs to be locked again. So I will meet with Dean after break, and I'll give him all this information, and hopefully it can be stopped or alleviated. And on that note, we had, this is the beginning. This is going to start to be our busiest time of the year right in the next few weeks. Oregon Rec did send out a note to all the community, coaches, parents, whoever, and just ask for everyone to please be patient with everything because it's the scheduling and the diamonds and not getting what you want and all that. So hopefully it kind of put emphasis on the coaches to be good role models. Hopefully that'll kind of take care of some of that. But it seems like it happens once in a while. The letter goes out, it dies down, and, you know, it's cyclical. So I will keep you posted on what happens. Okay, we do have a new board member. She came to the meeting last week, she filled out all the paperwork, and Joel has the paperwork. It's Val Hinojosa. I don't know if you guys know Val Hinojosa. I happened to run into her, and I talked to her, and she said, yeah, she was definitely interested. She has a lot of concerns about the Jerusalem itself, playground and that area. I told her that's kind of out of our realm, but absolutely, you come in and we'll take whatever opinions or suggestions you might have. So I don't know how I can have her approved to be part of the board. Joel does have the paperwork. I don't know if you need anything else from me or her.
As long as she's filled out the employment paperwork, I don't know that. Do we need to approve?
Maybe we should, because we do everybody else, you know. Okay. So I think we better. Yeah.
She gets paid, so.
Okay.
Joel, so you've got all the required paperwork, Joel, you said?
Yeah.
You're good with that? Okay.
Yeah.
Do they do terms? You guys do terms, don't you? So, but you stagger the term, right?
I have.
Okay, so you're going to set her term.
Well, I'll talk to her next meeting and tell her. I'll look at the other ones and
okay.
Put put it in there.
So do you want to, do you want a motion approval on her appointment now, or do you want to bring that back?
No, I would like to do it now, so she can be a participant in next month's meeting.
All right, so can you, first name again?
Val.
Okay, I move for approval of Val Hinojosa to the REC board as recommended.
Second that.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
I just have a couple more things here real quick. It was brought up at our meeting that, if you remember, a couple years ago, we priced out some trees to be put out there. And we talked about having Kevin picking them up, maybe someone putting them in. It was, they just want to have North Branch probably be the ones to put them in and install them with the warranty.
Yeah, they're warranty.
And just be done with that. I do have some prices. I'm not quite sure how to progress with this. Do you want me to set a limit dollar-wise, or do you have any suggestions, or how should I handle it?
It's kind of up to you, Mike, but when we were looking the one time, we were, don't get anything that's really tall.
Yes, and I have a quote from them from before, for the, it's about $5,000, and that was to line that walkway, if you remember that, and I have a drawing and all that. So they came out and made a drawing, suggested plants, and remember when I met with you when what not to get in. So all that's in there. This estimate is old. I'm going to have to revisit them.
Oh, yeah.
So before I would purchase anything, I would get a new estimate, and I would present that to you guys and then progress from there.
I don't think you got to put it much in front of us. You know, you can tell us about it, but, it's yours.
Just, $5,000 without letting you know.
Well, I'm glad to see you're doing it finally, because the quicker they get there, they're...
Yeah, so I will make it, I will go there, if we're off this week, I will go there this week and get it redone. And even if I have to come in 2 weeks in front of you guys, I will do that and progress that.
Okay.
And then I do have this. It's for the brick over there. Are you guys getting more estimates, or is this the company that's going
to
do it? Or?
It's up to you. You know, if you want to, she was here, so we just, she did it. I asked her, if you want to get some more, you get them.
Okay, now, so what does she say? Does she think all that brick needs to come off, or can she fix that?
She's going to screw it down.
Okay.
Probably like some of those, what do you call those concrete screws?
Tapcons.
Tapcons, that's what I wanted to say.
Okay, so the $1,450 would be to take care of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I think I would rather go that route because I'm more expensive.
Oh, tear it all off. Yeah.
Does she provide any kind of a warranty?
I don't know. This is the first I've seen.
Okay. All right. I would think that might be a question.
Okay.
You know, obviously the price is better for option one than option two. Does she have any guidance in terms of what's the expected life?
That was my next
given
question.
Option one versus option two, and will she warrant the work for what period of time?
Yeah, they might say a year, you know, but yeah, it's risky, you know. Yeah.
So I will call her tomorrow. What is your name?
Lisa.
Yeah, you take care of it. That's your building. So.
Okay, I'll call her and I'll get the. Right now I will lean towards a cheaper one, unless she says that's going to last 2 years, and that one's going to last 20 years.
Yeah.
So I will take care of that tomorrow. Okay. All right.
I think people from the rec board just built that, I'm pretty sure, you know, and that, you know, why they didn't tie it down, I don't know. But
that should have been done.
And Mike, too, about the pathway, have you found out anything else?
Oh, yeah. I have that in my notes. What I'm going to do is, when I meet with Dean next week, I am going to... I have it rewritten and I have it drawn up so you can see exactly what it is. So I won't have any prices yet because I'll send it out to those three guys who quoted it out the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I need to remeasure the school property. So what I'll do is it'll be the same dimensions, the same everything, same screens, the same everything. And also I'll put in there that it needs to be done by July 1st.
Yeah, it'd be nice for Tony.
Because that would be up around, and the schools won't want them out there when they're at recess and the kids are outside. So they'll have end of May to the beginning of July to get it done. So I'll set it out in plenty of time, hopefully like next month, and then they can schedule it that way, so.
What worries me that somebody's going to try and use it for
a driveway.
So make sure I think you had squirrels or something there, or else. And that's their.
We did talk about putting a pole in the middle of the entrance.
Oh, like they do the bike paths?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
good idea.
There's a removable pole. It removes at the base.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be the option that we would.
Yeah, you might do it right away.
Yeah. So if we put one on each end,
yeah,
that would be good.
You know how people are.
Okay, I will take care of the fence. I'll take care of the trees. I'll meet with Dean, and I will have all that rolling.
Thank you.
Yep.
All done? All right. Mike. All right, Linda, zoning report.
All right. I'm going to give you a copy of my update, which is kind of what I just go over.
Thank you.
And I know, Mark, you had mentioned the last meeting I was at about giving you updates, so if this works, let me know.
Okay.
I don't think I need to print off my Excel sheet every time. I mean, I could. But this lists the violations that I work on for that month. There's a zoning permit for 8128 Cedar Point for a pool permit. Land bank, we haven't heard anything on the foreclosures yet. Still waiting on that one on Canal where the house burnt down. Sent four violation letters out. One on Cedar Point Road, they have a shipping container, and for some reason their house is on two separate parcels, and their horse barn behind their property is on another parcel. So I sent a lot combined for them to them also. On Rachel, shipping container and a semi-trailer. And on Howard Road, there's a semi-trailer. Donovan Road, this poor guy we've been battling a little while. He's on a too small of a lot on Donovan. He's supposed to have 3 acres to have a horse. And then the pasture goes right up to the neighboring property owner. And so when the neighboring property owner turns into his driveway, he sees a pile of manure. So they've been fostering them, so the horses are not going to go because the daughter's in college. So that should be taken care of in the next. Horses are going to go in 2 weeks. And
they're going tomorrow?
No, they changed.
Oh, because he called me today.
He called.
Okay.
He called again.
So they changed it?
They changed it. So in 2 weeks, and then they'll take the fence down with my grass. So that's kind of encouraging. I had the two court cases. I had court March 5th. Met with a prosecutor. Both of them were extended till April 23rd and 29th. I don't know, Mark, do you want to go back to Donovan Road with me and inspect that property, or are you okay with?
If you'd like me to go with you, I'd be happy to do so.
Because sure. That April 1st date's coming up.
Okay. Let me know when you'd like to go out.
Okay. All right, we'll do. Zoning Board, we are reviewing Chapter 2 of the Land Use Plan. We have rough drafts of the historical info. Population trends, housing trends. They're going to work at completing infrastructure, water, sewer, and roadway improvements by the next meeting, so I could have a chapter review ready for May. So I am going to develop a 5-year plan for updating the land use plan. We are going to meet with a gentleman named Tim Sarko. He is the census data dissemination specialist. I think you forwarded that email to me. Lots of information based on the census and showing us how to use it. So for our land use plan, I think that would be really a valuable tool. So we're going to meet a half hour before our regular meeting on April 3rd with him. Conditional use permit, we had to look at developing a new one. So I'll give you a copy of the zoning board approved at their meeting. It's June two pages in the site plan list on the second page is actually out of the zoning resolution. So I patterned it off somewhat off of Oregon's, looked at a couple of the townships, and developed that one. So if you see anything on it that might send up a red flag or anything, you can let me know.
And these, when finalized, these will be available on the website?
Yep. Yeah, I'll put them on the website. Not there yet.
So this will help serve as communication back to the requester as well as documentation of the decision, the outcome.
So it's all on one sheet.
I think that's really nice.
I put those checklists on the back. Somebody had that and I thought that's a good idea.
Justification, yeah, that's a really great idea to have it all together.
Shows you the steps you need to do.
In a couple of weeks.
You know, Tonda's not there.
Is it okay to go on?
Looks, yeah, looks at a high level, it certainly looks very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I've been researching, I've been working on the resolution for the removal of junk motor vehicles. I mentioned that at Columbus, they highway vice code gives us a way to remove them. So one of the components of us doing that is we need an agreement with a licensed motor vehicle salvage dealer, Dan Drummond from Curtis. That's his address, 6840 North Genoa Place Center Road, Curtis. He is willing to be our licensed salvage dealer.
Do we already do business with him for any other purposes?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But he's the one licensed salvage dealer in our area. He's right in Curtis. He's not in the township.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great that he's
so
close
if
by.
That's okay for me to use him, he'll go on that document then if that's okay. As our licensed dealer.
So what does that mean then? That if you identify an abandoned vehicle, what's your process?
Yep. I'm still working on the whole process, but the process would be is a public hearing would be declared, and that's the signs would then go in that yard that there's going to be a public hearing. And so the hearing has to happen, and then we have to go get a salvage title. We are allowed to do that. And then we would do all the legwork and hand the salvage title over to Dan, and then he could go pick up the car or the vehicle.
Okay, so the resident has the opportunity to intervene at any point in that process and say, wait, I'll take care of it.
Yep, still have to send the letters, and then still have to do the hearing and the public notice in the paper. So you still have to go through all that process.
Okay.
So this isn't, this could happen to a resident that has a junk car sitting in their driveway. This isn't for like a abandoned house that we're trying to get from the land bank and we got to get that vehicle.
Right, this
vehicle.
Is just vehicles. This is
just. No, I'm saying like, so if we bought a property from the land bank and there was a junk vehicle in it, you know, somebody left there. So we'll use the chief because he's sitting here in front of me. So if Tony's got a junk car in his driveway that he won't remove, this legally gives you the right, after a hearing, to go in there and snatch that car off of his property.
Yep.
So we got questions.
Yeah.
I'm sure they say their
name. I need to state your name and address.
Terry Bruno.
Terry, what is it?
What determines if it's...
Terry Bruno.
If it's abandoned, I mean... How do you determine if
these vehicles
that are one is inoperable, and Honestly, I can't remember what the other two are.
I'm assuming one is, it's not plated?
No, they've taken that one out.
Oh, that's not applicable, okay.
Yeah.
So they get a certain amount of time, like the guy just...
It's a...
Threw a rod in his motor and he needs some time to get it fixed. How do they set a time period where, okay, it's abandoned now? You guys are, wait a minute, you know, I can fix this.
Well, you're gonna bring all this to us prior, this, we're just in the discussion stages of this right now.
Yeah.
And that's good, there's the questions and I'm kinda interested in it because I wanna see what, where's the line drawn and what, you know...
Next time I'll have the resolution and I'll have the, everything else along with it. I kinda wanna keep you in step as I go through the process, so...
Jim, did you have something back there?
Yeah, Jim, both your questions, would this encompass boats?
No.
On trailers, no? So this community, you know, dumping ground, abandoned boats also.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, we're a boating community, but they're also like cars, they're just in...
It'd be nice.
You know, and to answer somebody's question, Mr. Burdo's there. Car that's set for 11 years is really waiting for to get a new carburetor.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm still working on the signs that need to go. Clear Images has gotten back with me, Oregon's, that Oregon went to putting the sign in the yard and filling it in.
Mm-hmm.
So those signs are 3x2. So I sent him a copy back, but Waldo's will do it for $23.75. And then I haven't heard from Vision Quest, so I'm still working on those. And then the policies for abatement of buildings and noxious weeds. I want to have it all drawn out so everybody knows all the steps. At the last meeting, 10702 Jerusalem, Mr. Westfall asked about that property.
Yeah.
That property is... between his property and Mr. Minky's drive to his house that sits way back. So when you pull it up on Aries, nothing comes up. I have it highlighted in yellow. So it's like a pond or a section.
Oh, okay.
I think when they put the bridge in there, the new bridge over Route 2. Yeah, I don't know how it happened, but when you click on Aries, it just spins, which usually means Aries doesn't have it locked in, and it's probably the state's.
Are you Dale's talking? Bait shop.
Yeah, Dale's bait shop, and Jerry didn't he use the pond for?
Yeah, that was in the backyard of it.
Yeah, but didn't he use the pond for minnows or something? Even
I would say, yeah, because
if I remember right,
the bait store was in front of that pond.
Yeah,
when they widened and reconstructed the road the last time. I believe the state took that piece of property.
Yep. So it's not listed in anything. So I don't know if you want me to go any farther with that, but
I wouldn't know why.
Realistically, a lot of that the state takes when they have no use for it anymore. If he's interested, if he contacted ODOT and they show it, they'd most probably give it to him for a buck.
Yeah.
Just to get rid of the liability of the piece.
And that makes sense for him because he's mowing the grass there along the front there, so, you know.
So the property outlined in red, that's
Mr. Westfall's
property.
Yes.
So are you willing to follow up with Mr. Westfall and communicate
what his number is?
Do we have...
I don't think he left his number.
I don't think I have his phone number.
No, he has left his address and stuff. We all knew exactly what piece he was talking about when he started talking about it.
All right. We've got an address. Maybe send him a letter saying, here's what you've learned, and invite him to make contact with the state if he's interested. Okay. He did have some ideas about how it could be used.
He might not want that. It's right, the clip's right here, and this is all coming in. It's actually a liability to own.
He's got to repair the dike.
Yeah.
He might have to dredge it back and all that.
Yeah, he'd be better off. I wouldn't want to own it.
That's not deep either. That's only right.
Well, replace that bridge actually, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the bridge is 21, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can charge them rent to park their equipment there.
All right, a couple office items. The personnel policy, since I was the one that updated it and kept it going prior to the two new trustees coming, but we have to include the credit card policy, which Joel just emailed me, but there was also an identification policy, and I don't know if we need to include that, and Tony, I mean, that kind of goes back to you. Because you use our personnel policies for...
Correct.
So do we want to include something about a employee identification card? I mean, it would be Kevin, Eric, and I, but then all the fire department had one. So as long as I was doing one thing, I thought, should we put the other thing in and take care of it at the same time? It's just something to...
Can you guys just buy an identification card machine?
Yeah, and Joel manages it for us.
Oh, okay.
So all the firefighters have new ID badges, and there also our accountability system.
But it's not in the policy book. And it's one of the things that the state recommends. That's the state wording.
Yeah.
What I gave you is the recommended wording, but you can make it your own.
Well, as a general rule, it makes good sense for employees to have proof of identification if asked. And
it'd even be good for me as I'm going
right,
out.
Right. So yeah. I'm here on official business. Yeah.
We're getting a badge.
Some do have them.
And here it says updated annually. Do we want to put a is there a Joel, your suggestions on that? Is it not yearly or every?
We could put an expiration like on the ID badge. I know the fire department, I don't think, has one. Unless they're, you know, because I wouldn't want to waste the money to reprint those cards every year.
Right. That's
what I'm
saying.
Yeah, most organizations don't reprint them every year. They reprint them only when something changes, like the position changes or person says, hey, that picture's 15 years old.
I mean, you could ask them for the card if they're no longer the trustee or fiscal,
whatever.
You could say,
they should
surrender it, yeah.
But I mean, whether to get it back is beyond the, you know.
Yeah, maybe you change that and say, you know, it will be updated when required or...
When necessary.
Yeah, just a little more loosely.
Here, too, America's got just the chairman, you know, we switch every year, so you might as well put all the trustees, might as well just have one.
Yep.
There's no sense of...
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So you'll add the trustees to the language.
Okay.
So dress up next time so I can get your picture then.
Dress up next time.
Yeah, school picture.
We charge them double for all those extra cards.
I'll give you a copy of what's going to go in.
Okay. Seems like a nice idea.
And then the blood drive is June 14th. That's all I have.
June 14th?
Flag Day.
Flag Day, okay.
Linda, I got one for you. Mr. Anello, is that how you pronounce it, Anello?
Yep.
He contacted me after he called you, because he didn't get a hold of you immediately.
Right.
And so I drove down there, never met the guy, showed me the violation for the blight. And I'm like, the only thing I could say blight would be the manure. I mean, the house was, you know, everything with the yard was picked up. You know, there was two trailers there, they were plated. And he showed me a letter, you know, explained that he did not have the 3 acres for the horses, and he's in an R1 residential area.
Yep.
Showed me, I seen right where he tried to get in there with that bobcat and get that manure out, and he just sunk right down, barely got it out. And the thing says that we're allowed 1 horse per acre. Okay, and I asked him, he said he had all the paperwork from Dan, when Dan signed on, and I go, well, if there's stuff in there that says something about the horses, bring it to her, you know, I mean, what, you know, but he said that they were getting rid of them, were getting rid of the horses. And I said, well, I'm sure if you're getting rid of the horses and you're gonna get the manure out of here, I'm sure Linda will be completely fine with that. She's gonna be happy with that. But the question was asked, and not to get anybody in trouble, but how does Lily's get away with it two blocks down the road that have...
They're much more than 3 acres.
How much more?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to go.
Because I looked it up on the Aries, and it looked like it was 3.1 from what I could get off of Aries.
Well, they own the lot next door, and then they own the whole pasture out back,
yeah,
which is two pastures.
Is that two pastures? Okay. And that was the question, because he was... And I go, I don't know if it's the residential part of it or if it's the...
And then it's the property line. I mean, the biggest problem, too, is... If you would go to the neighbor that's next door, when that neighbor pulls in his driveway, that's where the manure pile is, and the fence is all the way up against the neighboring property owner, and it's not supposed to be. So if you do have horses, they're supposed to be out back, away from the lot lines.
Like, what's the law on that, 10 or something? 15 feet?
It's supposed to be 15, and he's right on it.
For livestock, well, like a regular fence you could put right on the property line.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that was my question. I just, he asked it, and I told him, I go, that's the only thing I can say would have to be the manure, would be my opinion of what she's getting you for.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anything else for Linda?
Upcoming priorities, Linda.
I had that on the top there. I was going to send letters out to our properties we own to try to get back. To the neighboring property owners. I didn't get to that, and that's, I'm going to sit down tomorrow and that happens. So that's
I know that was a point of discussion a couple meetings ago. Is there a master list of all of those township-owned properties? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have them all highlighted. I have the adjoining property owners' sheets. I have copies of them. So I just got to sit down and...
And all of them are too small to be buildable lots. Correct. On their own. Okay. So the only use
that
would be
buildable.
Yeah.
I come back to you to say. Right. Then you could decide what in fact you have to do with them.
Okay.
Because it could be a way that we could entertain getting some money to tear some more blight structures down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about accumulating a list, you know, as you, I realize as time permits, as you work through and accumulate that list of structures that are questionable.
Yep, I got a list.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
Will you be able to share that with us?
Sure.
At a future meeting? Okay, mm-hmm. Great, thank you. Do you have a question?
Oh, Sandy. Oh, sorry, state your name, please.
Oh, Sandy Nissen. I had a question about the horses and stuff. What if it's a 4-H project? Do they still have to have the acreage? Or?
Yes. I mean, I usually don't ding people on animals because we are a rural community. But when they don't take care of their animals the way they should, and it becomes a nuisance to the neighboring property owner. And that neighboring property owner has come to me 4 different times, whether in presence or calling. So when they become a nuisance, so, you know, and I didn't even ding him on the acreage that he had. It was just getting to a point where they were getting obnoxious as far as it is. Right now, it's a muddy mess.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want them in my backyard.
I was just curious because I had heard that
4-H doesn't exclude them.
Okay. Just curious.
And I'm a 4-H advisor. So when I learn to say they're excluded, yeah. I went through that even up in Oregon too, because one of my kids had rabbits on Coy Road, and go away.
If you have to have 3 acres, have we looked at the horses at Rubens and Allegan?
Yeah, she does know.
And the horses at La Fountain, just after you go over the hill?
And she doesn't, but she's very good at accommodating her neighbors. So, has she gotten a letter? Yes.
I have no idea that.
She has, but her problem is when she moves her manure pile, so she's very aware of her neighbors and takes care of them. So I work with a lot of them that just make your neighbor happy and we're okay.
So, I mean, basically, if Mr. Anello would have removed that manure sooner, faster, more frequently, and the fence was away, we wouldn't have an issue as much.
Right.
We would.
We even talked about putting a fence next to the manure pile.
Mm-hmm.
If he could have done that just to break that up with his neighbor,
okay,
it probably would have worked too. So that was something he was supposed to do and never did.
Because I was looking at that, and I felt that, and I didn't go in the barns to see how the stalls were set up in there or nothing,
yeah,
you know, because obviously they're going out that back door with the manure there, but I was thinking if he could was to come around the other way on the stone part, he could all winter long be able to remove it, you know,
yeah,
like as it, you know, and in the spring, not worrying about the mud, so, okay. All right. Anything else, Dave? Mark? All right.
Thank you, Linda.
Maintenance department.
Starting out with the cemetery, got a funeral this Thursday at 11 a.m. It's going to be a full burial. That's the corresponding deed that you just signed. I did give the contract to the Marr family. I've already had a call back on it. They were wondering if we had any kind of plan showing the trees or the driveway position. I explained some of it to him. I do have some plot drawings that I got from the county and also one from a construction company. They both show the driveway position, but we have not decided, what I told him at this point is we have not decided on the type of tree, the spacings. My feeling is I don't want a leaf tree in there. I prefer some kind of an evergreen or something like that. I prefer more of a fence look. Well, he also asked if we were going to stagger the trees in and out, and I told him no, because we want the maximum amount of area to put the graves in. He was worried about how big the trees would get, because eventually they would take over part of that 10-foot area that we're giving them as a right-of-way along their property. And I told him 20 years from now I had no control over how big the trees get, other than we can possibly look for, if we're getting evergreens, get ones that don't get as wide. And height-wise, obviously, we don't want a monster height-wise because they tend to blow over and out of the ground. But he was asking more for that print to be able to look at, and he was wondering if we were still thinking of doing the pond in the back. I told him that was a point of discussion yet, and that has nothing to do with what he has going on up front. The pond is totally our decision, whether we do it or we don't. He's been pretty good, but sort of, I took it as he's trying to be a little forceful with it. I did relay to him the conversation me and Linda had when the lawyer got back with us, that he'd also found in the Ohio Revised Code where we didn't have to abide by that 50-foot because there was another code that superseded that. But we'd already started the conversation, and I'd like us to still be a good neighbor, because I wouldn't like to buy that, have farmland next to me, and next year now there's a cemetery. But it just, and I did put it off to him that, hey, we're trying to be a good neighbor, and yeah, we'll take some opinion, but we may or may not do what you want. I said, we do plan on planting a tree buffer, and he was asking, which I'd already told him, if we planted trees, they wouldn't be no 1 or 2 foot trees, that they would be a minimum of about 4 foot high trees, to as much as maybe 6-foot trees to plant them to start with. Well, he was agreeing with that, but he still wanted to see what kind of trees we were looking at. So it's up to you guys on how you want to head with it. I'm still working with him. I'm not any good at drawing trees in on the side of a plan, but to give him a rough idea and show him what we're looking at as far as a row of trees with no determination on the type of tree or bush at this time.
If we're, so I gotta go back to this and think about how that was real. So we're giving him a 10-foot easement onto that property because that will allow us to put more graves over closer.
Yes.
Otherwise, we gotta be 50-foot off of the property line?
No, we have to be 50-foot off the nearest structure. Which okay. would have been basically an arch out right in the middle of that property, a 50-foot arch from the farthest point of this building. So when I found it and from Burrell had said that was all he had found at the time, so this was the easiest way. That's how I started the discussion, was we would give him a 10-foot easement, step in 10-foot from the property line and plant trees. And that way he can still get around his barn because he's landlocked himself with the building, the house, and the pool. There's no way to get around behind his barn to get to his propane tank, septic system, anything. So that's where we come up with the 10-foot because the property line's about 5 foot, I think, off the back of his building to start with. So that gives him 15 to 20 feet, depending on the size of the trees, to be able to get around it. So that's where we're working. They were going to send the paperwork to their lawyer to look at it. And what I told him to do, I says, if you got some ideas, I says, please, when you get paperwork back from your lawyer, I says, draw up something for the kind of language you're looking at, and we would review anything you want, but not necessarily that we're going to agree with what you want exactly.
What's his name, Mike? Is it Mike?
Mike, yes. Mark. And he's been pretty decent, so is his wife. It's just, we're starting to get to that point, so there's going to be a little agreement, disagreement back and forth till we get the bugs worked out. But we got to come up with something down through there, because like I said before, we stick a shovel in the ground, I want that paper signed.
Signed.
Yeah.
No headaches, nobody questioning what we do. And we move on with it.
And this has been dragging on for quite a while now, it seems like.
Well, we just got in the paperwork 3 weeks ago or something like that after the meeting when we talked about it the last go around. But that's just sort of where it lies at this point. It's been conversation through phone calls and questions. So is there any suggestion from you guys on where you want to head or anything that I need to emphasize to him?
I guess the biggest thing, what is there any idea of, Dave, do you have, and Mark, any ideas on trees that you were...
Mike's going down there. They have books on different trees, different evergreens and all that. Bring us some books back so we can look at them and decide which ones, you know, to put up. How's that?
Okay, I will get some.
They'll give you recommendations, too.
And ask them that, too, yeah.
And they'll do the drawing.
They do. They will do the drawing.
So you're looking for a windscreen, you're looking to screen the vision?
It's basically going to be a vision thing, and right away it will not be a total block. They have little daughters. They don't want people sitting in the cemetery watching their daughters run around in the yard. Mm-hmm. And what have, and they have, with little kids, they have a lot of parties, and they don't want to be disturbing anybody that could be in the cemetery, which, like I told them, and this is the way I feel about it. Hopefully you guys feel this way. When we start selling graves in there, it'll go from the driveway we put in to the east. I'll sell nothing to the west side of that driveway until I can no longer accommodate somebody on the east side of the driveway.
So that'll be the last to be filled. Okay.
What about, instead of doing the trees, maybe this will help? What if we did a fence?
No, we talked to him about that too.
Even like a nice vinyl, them nice vinyl fences they have now that are...
I brought that up with the last group of trustees we had. We discussed that, and we felt more with the nature side of it. If we put the trees in, it's more of a better background than just a solid fence or a vented fence going down through there. And I think honestly cheaper with the trees and the long-term maintenance on them would be. And I think the ones that I have at my house are some kind of a northern pine. They're real soft needles. They don't look like an arborvitae, but they got sort of that same shape, and I don't believe they get any bigger than about 6 feet at the base. Those are sort of a nice tree, and I think they go 14 feet high.
Yeah.
They have cones?
Huh?
They have cones on them?
No.
No.
No. So we don't have to worry about lawnmowers throwing pine cones around.
Can't zip them at his house.
But that's just where the conversation is at this point. I can get back with you at the next meeting, or if any of you got ideas, get with me, call me, shoot me an email, let me know what you come up with. But that was what he was looking for, and I explained the driveway position and everything to him. And I may take this set of plans that I got, go over and sit down with him. Because usually on most of them pine trees, you're anywhere from 10 to 15 foot spacings. And we could start out until they start growing up. You could put some kind of a flowering bush in between them just for aesthetic look down through there and a little more buffer if you wanted. Mm-hmm. But there's options out there. But we don't have to plant the trees right away. It's just he knows what's going to happen. And he would sort of like, which I don't blame him, because we all come and go here.
Mm-hmm.
What happens 15 years from now or 10 years from now when another group of trustees come in and they say, well, I don't care what they did, we're going to do this. If we just made him up something saying that we would attempt to sell everything to the east of the driveway before we get to the east, just trying to build the years before the headstones end up at his side of the property. So.
Mike, if you get those recommendations or books, why don't you give them to Kevin right away, and then we can always get them from Kevin and look at them too, all us trustees.
I'll touch base with them as soon as they get.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Had a funeral last Saturday. It was a cremation funeral. No problems with that. I would like to get on the website the first week in April. We'll be doing our cemetery clean off. If we can get that on the website, that all items wishing to save to clear off the headstones prior to that Monday, and I had the date, but I didn't write it down, whatever the first week of April is, and they'll be able on the following Saturday to put out their rest of their decorations, Easter if they want to start, stuff like that. So.
Yeah. So the weekend, before the weekend of the 6th and 7th, Saturday, Sunday, 6th and 7th of April.
That'd be the first Saturday in April is the 6th.
Okay, the first one is the 6th, so we'll start that week.
Okay.
Then at the following weekend, they can put anything back on that they want to put on.
And all you need to do is just put together an email and send it off to the Neon Goldfish people and tell them what you wanted to say, and they can put it out there.
Yeah, I can write it up and I'll get with Linda or somebody so we make sure it gets out there.
Okay.
Because that earlier the better. We were just talking about it. Allen Township's going to do theirs here in a couple weeks, and depending on what the weather does here, we fought frozen grave reefs off the ground before. I figured they extended out a little farther and I'll give them a little more notice to get stuff cleared off. So I don't feel there's a need anymore to put anything in a Metro Press since we actually do have a real website now and
right. People
are visiting it.
So about brush chipping, you want to do the same thing?
No, actually brush chipping, unless we get a bad storm, I'm thinking we're going to do that one in the fall to clean up from whatever we get through the summer. And if we get a bad enough storm, it just have to do something earlier additional. So, unless you guys would like us to do one in the spring, it's up to you. Normally, what we've been doing, I've been alternating it back and forth between spring and fall. And I think it's time to do a fall one. I think the last one I did was a spring.
I've really not heard any feedback from the community about brush chipping.
Let the drive around.
I go around it. There's a lot of down from the storms, from that heavy winds.
Yeah, we might have to have one this spring. I'll drive around too. And you guys drive around too?
Okay.
That's the best way.
Yeah, I have seen a lot of limbs down. Yeah.
A lot of people just figure on it. Okay. For the spring. And
Well, we haven't been doing it in the spring. It's been fall and spring back and forth.
Okay.
That's how we were doing it. So it ain't that somebody counts on it in the spring because it hasn't been the same every year. It just goes back and forth. But plus we have a big event.
Okay.
But yeah, I would just like to get the cemetery clean off on there and get started with that. We had our visit from the health department today for the inspection on the septic system. Everything passed on the septic system, other than the test switch out on the pump station. I'll get a new switch. It works. It was a little hard for them to turn, so they wrote it, so I'll put a new switch on it. As long as they keep passing it, I'll put a $7 switch on it. Roads. Chip seal program that I brought up about three meetings ago. We approved $102,736 for this year's chip seal program. Just got the latest quote in before it goes into final print, and the estimate has went up to $115,734. So what I would like to ask tonight, I guess, is we increase our $102,013 to meet their estimate. And I don't see how they're coming up with these prices, because the quotes I've had on per mile of road has been like $10,000. I'm hoping this comes in under 80, but I don't know that for a fact. But I would like to just ask for an additional $13,000 put on top of that for the 2019 resurfacing.
The funds, I mean, you have the funds.
Yes.
Yeah. We haven't invested a lot in the last couple of years. It's accumulated. It's not a financial hardship. I move to increase the amount approved as requested to cover the $115,734. You're asking, is that the ceiling that you're asking for?
Yeah,
to move up to that amount for the 2019 chip seal program. Okay.
Usually when you go out to bid on something like this, usually they'll allow you up to, I think it's like an 8% overrun if there's other stuff added during the thing. But if there's going to be anything like that, it'll come back to you guys before we ever get to it.
Okay.
Oh, you need a second on that, don't you?
Right.
We need to get a second. Need a second.
Okay, roll call, Bill Miller.
Yes.
Bob, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, over the last couple small snow events we've had problem with the big truck, the Work Star. We had problems when you went into reverse when it was cold, like out here in the parking lot, you first pull it out and start scraping a lot, the truck would just shut off, like you turn the key off. It got worse on the last one. It actually stalled three times going backwards and once pulling on the Route 2. That was the first time it ever did it forward. So I took it to American Enterprises. It's back today. They fixed it. I believe the price he quoted me was $1,400. There was two sensors on it, and the other one just happened, obviously, but it was a air brake heater, or the air brakes just keeps the condensation out of the lines. But I believe he quoted me $1,400 on that, and he spent 7 hours trying to get one sensor out because it broke off in the tranny. So I'm more than happy to pay him that. But we, when it died in forward pulling out on Route 2, that was enough.
Yeah.
In reverse, it ain't that big a deal, but pulling out on the highway. So that's back anyhow, it's fixed. Other than that, we're just about finished up with our winter maintenance. We got one more tractor to go after the one in the shop. Then we'll be completely ready for spring with everything maintenance, oil changed, and ready to go. The Cedar Point water, the last big blow we had here a week or so ago, I was able to gravity feed the water out instead of pumping it. I'm hoping on Thursday to get rid of some more water, but without a wind that blows for 24 hours at 40, 50 mile an hour, you just don't get enough water away to be able to gravity flow it out back there.
Yeah, I'm assuming with the warming trend we're gonna have over the next couple of days,
that
the wind will shift it out of the south.
Wind, so, and that'll definitely help as that just prolongs before we gotta get the pump back in there again. So, and the last thing I had, I guess, more for Mike, the Rialto Park, there's still no gates and they have trenched that up with vehicles running around in there.
I did notice that the last time I drove by there. Remember when I talked to you about the gates last time, you said they were up years ago and they ended up just getting beat up and bent up, and so I kind of let that go. I don't know what the solution would be there, but there are a lot of tracks going into that park. Looks like snowmobiles, trucks, cars, or you name it.
We can either replace that with double gates, or we put a cable across it. And
I did think about a cable.
Put bright orange gas hose or something over it.
That's dangerous, though. They got snowmobiles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what the price was. I think that's like 21 feet across between them posts.
Yeah, I did get prices from Tractor Supply when we talked about that before.
Yeah.
It's relatively inexpensive. But it,
to do vertical posts?
No, it's a gate that would open.
Oh, okay.
But when I was told that the last one just kept getting beat up and they had to keep straightening it up all the time, I kind of dropped it because I didn't want to.
They can make it, that ditch in the front there isn't that deep, is it? I can't remember. Is that a deep ditch or
I think
no?
You can get around. You can get in there if you want to get in there. If that was closed up, you can get in there.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, this might just slow them down a little bit, but unfortunately, I think they're still going to get in there.
I did take a look as I came by today on the way here, and the depth of the tracks, kind of, I was guessing it was probably like ATVs that were in there, as opposed to, they weren't as deep as what I would have expected from like a truck, a four-wheel drive truck. But yeah, I mean, how do you keep the maneuverable little ATVs? They'll go wherever they want to go.
So that's why I kind of didn't pursue that.
Do we need to put up some signage reminding them?
They tore the signs down. There's no motor vehicles beyond this point.
Can't you fill that little ditch and put the pipe through there and fill that in so they have a place to park when they do go down there? Because I noticed the cars go down there and they go off, they park off the side of the road to go in. Or sometimes they even pulled up to the top.
Well, there's enough room for, if they park okay, they can park three cars in front, that's about it, without parking alongside the road. But no matter what we do with that opening, it has to be big enough that I can get in there with the backhoe, I can get in there with the mowing tractors.
Right.
So that's the only reason I brought the gates up again. And maybe if we look at a heavier stock gate, maybe weld some other stuff onto it if we have to, if it ain't heavy. What I got before wasn't the commercial grade gate, it was just their lightweight entry gate is what it was.
That's the same thing I looked at.
And they do have some heavier gating up there, and I don't know if they'd order anything any heavier than that, but we gotta watch how heavy they get, because our posts on the side are not gonna support them, then pretty soon we're pulling the posts. So think about it, let me know but something has to be done or you're just going to be in all the time.
Well, maybe we got to put up some trail cameras there and catch some people in there and then start billing back.
They pull up there, when they go to the park, they pull right up into the park.
Right, I mean,
the park.
You know,
pull in here.
That's my opinion, you start charging them back, it might stop, but if you could find out who it is. You know, I mean, if you had definitive proof, not just a hearsay, you know, license plate, something, you know, but that's, I didn't think that ditch was as big as it was up there, but they're going to get in there somehow.
Well, I
can run in from North Street across that farm field, if that's the case, or come in from the Reuben side.
Yeah, I pulled in just enough to get off the road so I could take a look.
You're part of the problem.
No, no, there's a driveway, but it is so soft. I mean, I was bare, I was still sticking out a little bit onto the road and it was very soft. So it's, yeah. I'm not sure that there's really, that it's really set up for even three vehicles to park in there without damaging the turf. So I don't know, the trail camera is something, some kind of observation isn't a bad idea.
You know, we put a lot of time and money into that park this summer, over 18. I mean, put the sign in, did the basketball courts.
Painted everything.
Yeah, cut, trimmed all the trees up in there. You know, we were going to put new mulch down in there this year and it just.
Basketball court?
Yeah, the basketball court. Did you move that bench down there?
No, because we didn't want anything.
That's right, that's right. I remember that now. I remember we talked about originally putting it down there, but.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there was one of the neighbors that put on Facebook that they seen a Jeep and they're running around.
Yeah, there was vehicles.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they told, I told them they should put on a Jerusalem Township site. That way everybody can see who it was.
Yeah. That would, I mean, that.
It's happening a lot.
If you could catch the plate numbers or the vehicle even, I mean, yeah. Then you have something, you know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's,
right.
It's frustrating. You know, I know it's not much of a park over there, but, you know, we did what we can for the kids down there, you know.
Yeah. Well,
so,
yeah, you don't want to.
Yeah, but if you have people in tearing it up, do you really want to invest more money into it?
Exactly. So, I mean.
Well, you know, Kevin, your suggestion about putting a heavier duty gate, you know, that seems to make sense. Something that's going to be a little bit more sturdy as long as the posts can support it. At least it's going to be a reminder that, no, you're really not supposed to be driving whatever you want in here.
Yeah, you're not going to stop the four-wheelers.
No.
There's just no stopping that. But the impact of a four-wheeler tearing up a little bit of grass is a lot less than a vehicle in there driving around. Because last summer I had to run kids out of there. They drove their cars all the way back to the basketball court because you know when you're young you can't afford to walk very far. They drive all the way back and they park right next to the basketball court. So it's. But I'll look into some heavier gates or
thanks.
Something.
Maybe. Okay, I'm gonna go back down there. Look down there this weekend again. I want to look at some ideas down there.
What's the technology like for remote cameras? You know, camera on a post. You know,
they'll steal it.
Yeah, this is Barb Ball. What's gonna avoid the vandalism of that?
Right. Well, hopefully we get a good picture of them, and then we can come back and give them the bill.
They don't know you got them there because they will be scoring.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, if they see it, yeah, though.
That's what I was thinking, like a trail camera, you can hide them pretty good, mm-hmm, you know. Okay. You just have to go pull the cards every so often. And.
Okay.
Well, believe me, when I see them, I'm getting pictures.
Yeah.
I'm definitely bringing pictures in.
Yeah,
please.
Because,
and that's what we need, you know, we need that, you know, it's so far out of the beaten path, you know, that.
The only problem, they do it in the evening,
yeah,
they do it at night.
Right.
So all you're seeing is headlights.
Right.
Well, we can let our deputies know, too, and let them be a part of this, so, you know. And we can ask them to make that part of the patrol.
Yes.
And I've talked to them before about that, and they.
What's that?
They did do that.
Yeah.
Mm. I know Brian left.
I mean, all I gotta do is, you know, put something on a simple piece of paper, post it at our door, and they'll follow through with it.
Anybody got anything for Kevin?
No, nothing else for
Dave.
Kevin.
Anything else for Kevin?
No.
Okay. Cemetery. So we'll go on to the trustees' reports. Cemetery.
Nothing beyond what Kevin reported.
Okay. Paul Reynolds, we had two since the last one. We have one to come up last minute one for this this Saturday. Rhodes, Dave, anything on the Rhodes?
I got all that stuff in the back, so.
Okay, going to old business. Repairs to the hall, which is the brickwork out front. They were here today, I saw them working. Are they about finished up with the first stage, Dave?
Yeah. The big, like I was telling you, is there inside, they're going to, it's the removal of the brick above the two existing garage doors at Kevin's shop and the installation of a new coping and siding and the installation of a parapet that's something like out here. It won't come down as far. It'll be a littler one because it's got to be above his doors. It's going to match the existing building as close as possible. And the other one is if you tear everything off, you know, it's $7,000 to $8,000 to re-brick that all up. And that probably wouldn't last either. So the easiest way is just take all the brick off, she said. Forget about it and then hide it with that parapet or whatever they call it.
So you're saying the easiest way is option one?
Yeah.
Which is a couple thousand dollars cheaper.
Yeah. Okay.
And you believe that'll last just as long as option two?
It'll probably last longer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because the brick on the bottom aren't tight either. So you put these brick up there, you might tie the top ones, but you know the bottom ones aren't tied, so.
You have to redo all them again eventually.
And if they do put brick up there, there's just angle there across the doors. That angle's not heavy enough to hold the brick weight. So they'd have to put like a little I-beam up there or something to really to hold all that brick right.
Okay, so they're going to put much lighter siding, take the brick off, put much lighter siding up there.
Yeah, just hide it all, just hide it.
Okay, well. Great, it's certainly more affordable. Okay.
It should solve the problem for a while, but we really, and then when if they do get this all done, we got to get it sealed right away. Seal it really good, wash it down real good, and seal it. And then we're going to have to buy, it's instead of using salt there, we're going to have to spread some other kind of chemical that doesn't deteriorate the concrete or the brick or whatever there. We have to start doing something else there. So you... Prior to probably 15 years ago, there used to be a flower bed along there. And the lady said there was a flower club, and that's why the brick stayed that long. And it's just been the last 15 years where we got a sidewalk there and we're throwing salt up against it, and which we have to because if people fall and get hurt, we'll get sued. Yeah. But I think we have to use something else besides just the salt.
Okay.
We have to look into that. So it's up to you guys. She just gave me this today.
So is this your recommendation then to go with option one?
Yeah, I would because it's.
And Kevin, right? This is going to come out of his budget, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, you agree with option one?
No, I'm just a Retter.
Well, Rhett just went up.
$5,700 to take all the brick down and, you know, put that little parapet, they call it, or something like that there. It won't come down as low as the other one, of course.
Yeah.
It'll look a little goofy there, probably, but you just can't afford to re-brick that on the top there because the brick on the bottom, they're not tied down either, so we're better off just hiding it. And, I don't know.
What do you think, Kevin?
One of these times that brick's just going to come down.
That's what I'm afraid of too.
It's bowed out pretty good in the center. If nothing else for a safety thing, we got to get rid of that brick.
There's water in the back of it. Just a whole bunch of water just right in the back of that.
But as she said, when she was drilling these ones out, the water come out of them. When they're on the main building here. So
okay.
And she'll start on this. She'll probably move right into this as the weather opens up, Dave.
Yeah. She. I haven't talked to her quite a while. Just the last couple of days.
I seen her today, and I didn't have time to talk to her, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll move for approval of option one. And the quote amount is $5,750 for removal of brick above the two existing garage doors, installation of new coping and siding, and the installation of the parapet roof to match the existing building as close as possible.
I can second it.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Settler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, so that covers the repairs of the hall. Davis Bessie, March 19th, April 16th, and 17th. That's for the
the fire department. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to do it.
The disaster drill.
Yeah. Yeah,
so good working. I believe that Dave had offered to cover the disaster drill on the 19th, March 19th.
Yep.
And I'm available to cover the disaster drill on April 16th.
And Bo, if you wanted to do the one on the 17th, I don't know what it amounts to. You're there, I think, aren't you? The 17th?
The 17th at fire? It's over at Clay High School.
Yeah.
It's for a couple of hours.
No, I don't think the chief's involved.
No, we're not involved.
You're not involved that at all?
No. So the 17th, okay.
The 17th of April. And then there's also on March 20th. There is at Fire Station 41 on Seaman on Wednesday the 20th. There's an evening, just for a couple of hours. I'm willing to cover that.
Did we have the time for the one on the 17th? I don't.
Yes. April 17th.
Yeah.
That runs from. It starts at about 5:50. Yeah, they want you there 10 minutes early, but it'll actively begin at 6 o'clock, but they want you there about 5:50. Okay. Clay High School. Or, I'm sorry, Fire Station 41. I think they're going to bounce back and forth between the fire station and Clay High School.
Okay, so we're going to Station 41, you said?
Correct.
All right, I
so
got it.
You got that one on the 17th?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. All right. The road transfers from the Lucas County, and I think we're all in agreements that we're just going to put a hold on that until we get some.
Do we know more?
Until we get some confirmation.
So we're not signing.
Nope, we're not going to sign that.
Okay.
No. I think we might have to have Mike come out here. I think it's coming to that.
I mean, he sat in that meeting and told us that, yes, we went down there 2 weeks ago at his office, and he said yes, and they're still trying to.
Yeah.
Sarah's email today was pretty clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that what happened was they presented this to the commissioners, and they didn't have all their ducks in a row on what they were doing, or they didn't put it in right.
The commissioners told me that they didn't know anything about it. They just approved it. I talked to Contrada at one meeting. She didn't know nothing about it, she said. Yeah, she told me. You know, that time we went to the Perrysburg.
Yeah.
I sat next to her there that time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll put that on hold. Kevin, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, from what Sarah said, that's fine, but they got to figure out how much is that. I believe it's 2.43 miles. That we will not receive any gas tax from, nor will we receive any of the state additional money that they're trying to say, no, we got to take them all. Well, that's what's missing out of the roads. So we would receive none of those funds. They'd all go to the county.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I get a figure of how much that money is and how they're going to give it to us. I'd say no.
Yeah.
The commissioners may have given us those roads, but we need the money for them if we're going to do
That's why I think, Kevin, we got to have them come out here and talk.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping Sarah calls me tomorrow, and I'm going to explain to her, too. But, no, that we had roads pushed on us. If they're pushed on us, we got to have the money for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm in agreement with you on this. This is been back and forth, and they're...
I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are too.
I'm sorry if the big guy made a mistake, but the little guy's not going to pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Right. Sandy?
Is this about the county's giving us roads?
Yeah, they are pushing roads onto us that they found a loophole in the Ohio Revised Code that says that if it doesn't, it has to End, start or end on a county or state road. So basically, we're getting like Yondota from Corduroy to the water treatment plant, or, you know, north. Anchor Point Road, north. Decant, was it Decant? No.
Park Colony.
Park Colony. And Howard.
And Howard Road.
Corduroy, like what, like Way Drive, right?
East Row, East Avenue, Rachel.
And we're getting Corduroy from Howard to East.
East.
That we didn't have before.
Yep.
So all those people that live on those roads are gonna get a lot better snowplow than they were ever used to, and their mailboxes will still be up.
So it looks to me like they're basically saying anything that's virtually only servicing residential belongs to the local township.
Yeah. Now, see, I didn't think we were getting Main Street and Bono.
Yep, Main Street Bono's on there. Martin Williston's on there.
Arquette.
And Brown Road from Nissen to Turno.
Turno.
And Arquette.
Yeah.
Right.
It was what, 2.24 miles?
The ones they didn't include.
Oh, the ones they didn't include.
Mileage. Yeah. I think the total mileage was
6.5 or something like that, yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, they're not being very nice about it.
Why are they doing Howard or Corduroy from Howard East? Because that's where they go all the way to Howard. Corduroy Road's all county.
Terry, say your name.
Terry Berdow, I'm
sorry. You got to make sure.
You know Kevin, so you don't have to say it.
Right? Well, unfortunately.
If it's that's a continuation.
Corduroy.
From Howard to East.
Correct.
They go to Howard. And they go down, and they've got Howard Road also.
Yeah.
The way it's written,
they're trying to dump everything they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're trying to dump. They're not hiring people to replace people that are retiring there. It's
their road has to be a continuous road. Basically, it can't be a dead end. It has to serve through traffic. So when you start, I argued on Main Street Bono because it's through traffic for the town of Bono.
Yeah.
But that ain't big enough. It's got to carry so much traffic in order for them to maintain them, which their story is they're in contempt with the state because they've been maintaining these roads and they should be township roads, which they never furnished us any paperwork that we asked for on that. We still got a record request from them from when Ron Sheehan was here for an update on all the storm sewers, conditions of road, signage that was never filled when they tried this. It started out almost 8 years ago.
Do you guys want these roads?
No.
We have to take them.
How would even just a simple corduroy? That's a through road to get to anything in Reno Beach.
You can't argue with them, Terry.
Down Howard to the end and come back around. It's a through road.
Yeah, they
goes all the way around.
You can't argue with them, though, Terry.
Yeah, they made their mind up, and then we've been arguing with them. They've been saying, "Listen, we don't want it."
Yeah.
You know,
if the county commissioners pass under resolution,
which they did,
they can abandon any road and give it to a township or a village. There was other townships that got roads. Not near as many as us, and there was other ones that got roads taken away from them.
Yeah,
became county roads. We just weren't lucky enough to get any taken away.
So then you're gonna have to maintain them then.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Paving them.
That sucks.
Plowing them.
It's a lot of roads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Although hopefully there will be additional revenues. Tax revenues
from who? Us or
them? Well, the state. The gas tax that had been going to them should shift to us, but we don't really yet know what that amount is.
Yeah, how much it is, or
I don't.
And the money that we'll receive through the state through gas tax, even if they raise the gas tax like they're talking, in a 15-year period, will never be enough to do anything to those roads other than maybe tar and chip those roads. That's it. There'll be no more asphalt. There'll be tar and chip. That's it.
And originally, when we've talked to them, they were going to maintain, they were going to fix everything before they handed them over to us. We said, if you're, you know, you fix what needs to be fixed, give us good roads, then it wouldn't be such a hard pill to swallow. But it looks like they don't even want to do that now. So we're fighting with them.
Anything else? So be it one time down there in Yondota, he owns half of that road.
I wish he'd draw a line, because that's where I'd stop plowing on that road.
Yeah, really.
Boy, I chewed my ass out about it once, damn fat.
Yeah, well, we'll actually plow two down on Yondota Road. I'll be right where the road comes in from the Oregon pumping station, and the big signs are put up for the Toledo pumping station there, just before the curb will stop there. So, until the city of Toledo wants to pay us some money to plow the rest of the way back.
Yep.
All right, anything else? You guys got on that? Move on to Rachel and East water issues. I know that's with the county right now.
Yeah, we're still working on that.
Talking on that one. Kevin touched on the MAR agreement for the cemetery. Brown Road water issue, that's another one that's just kind of, we're waiting on the county with that one. Motor vehicle tax, that one we've been kind of tabling.
You wanna try and read that, do something next time or what?
Yeah, that's fine. We can.
Yeah, we'll leave that on. I'll keep that. Okay. Keep that on.
Do you want to send the information back out to everybody?
I give it to everybody.
Okay. All right.
So I'll find it again if you don't have it.
I'm sure it's in here.
Okay. Yeah. I know I give it to everybody. I'll look it up again and.
Number eight there, Lucas County EMA, Hannah Schwartz. We met, Mark and I went through class with her last meeting. I think I got more candy than you did. I was more participatory. Jerusalem Elementary Path, Mike, you touched on that. Got that going. Number 10, so Seaman and Teach Out. I'm assuming you're probably in regards to the gate there, Dave, that was.
I talked to Panuski again.
Okay.
And I let him have it. I guess. We're going to get something done there, one way or the other. I didn't tell him that we would use our storm running water if we have to, a little bit of it, but I told him we want something done, either a gate or else that rubber tube that goes out like an inner tube.
Yep.
Or something like that there. I'm sick and tired of that gate. I'm just sick and tired of it.
Yeah, Rich was in here at the last meeting bitching about it, so.
Yeah.
Which, I get it, you know.
No, it's one of our most central points where the majority of our water goes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of the township, really.
11 there, Otama Insurance. I met with Jeb Phillips today, this morning, took him around, come through all the buildings. That's our casualty, or not, I don't say casualty, our major building insurance. He wouldn't even look at the fire training center next door. He goes, no, nope, and I'm not even going over there. He goes, they're not even going to mess with them because they're not enough value there. Because everything that we have in there, if there's anything in there, we have it under, everything's covered under insurance. Like the barn next door that you keep the tractors in, the contents was only insured for like $18,000. He goes, but every tractor's got its own policy, so that they're all covered.
It's in a blanket. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So he was happy. We went over to the rec field structure there, and that's when we did the drive and
found some. I don't think they ever did this before. I don't remember it.
He says it's been a few years since they've been here.
Yeah, they've done it. Usually, when I've met with them, very seldom did they ever even come in the buildings.
Yeah.
Last time the guy was here, he just measured everything off, took pictures, and went on his way.
Yeah, he was really shocked about how big the generator was. He goes, wow, he goes, that's going to be expensive to replace if you gotta replace that because it was so big. So he was
only need half that generator.
Yeah. Right, but he was... he did a really good job. He was ready to go because he was from California, actually. He was ready to get out of this cold weather. Oh. So he was ready to go home. He had been here long enough, he said. So, number 12, the Kohler property over there, Mickey Kohler. Last meeting, she was here. We talked, was it the last meeting? I think it was the last meeting we talked about. She was having the water issues down there. And... I didn't know if that was the same, Dave, you had down there, a new business at Crossover.
Yeah, the only thing I got about it, I appreciate you going and helping her, but we should have had the state do that. Our crews should not have been on Route 2, but so I didn't know about it until somebody stopped and told me about it.
Yeah.
We should have made sure, and I think you still should call the state, because Kevin said he thinks it's a galvanized pipe and it's rotten.
Yeah, that's what we're probing away in there.
So they should have been there. Get them there and show them that, because you know they're going to do the bridge in 21. Well, hell, they can replace that then,
right,
too.
Right.
Same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I was more or less looking to get a quick open it up, see if we get water flowing. We figured that would be the best thing.
Yeah, but you know,
open it up. So
sometimes you got to do it right, though.
Well, that's all.
I just,
you know, I feel that we need to help her, and we got water moving somewhere.
You put our men in danger, though, is what I didn't like about it, because when they did the trees, when I got the state to do the trees down there, they had from Decant Road, they had signs all the way to my driveway.
Yeah,
you know, so whatever.
Okay.
So do we have the information that we need to make contact with the state?
All you got to do is call down to Oak Harbor, and yeah. Kevin's got the number, and I got the number too. So yeah.
Yeah, it was the Oak Harbor ones when we just.
Yeah. You can talk to Steve Dunwell down there, or you may have to call Bowling Green, and I don't know which one at Bowling Green's in charge of here. But.
All right, who's going to initiate that contact?
I can call him.
Okay, all right.
The trouble is, you know, that darn thing that it needs cleaning all the way out to the creek.
Yeah.
But then the next thing is when the creek comes on, it pushes it right in. It, you know, it actually should have a trap there on the south side of Route 2. Because that's what happened to you the last time we got all that rain in June. She just went in and pushed her, and then it pushed it all the way back to Sachs Road.
Yeah.
All the way. You wouldn't believe it, but it did.
Hmm. Okay. New business, the Lucas County Township Association meeting, which is, I'm assuming, tomorrow, 13th, 5:30.
I don't know if I'm going. We got church.
So do we. So I don't know that I'm going to make it either.
I'm gonna call him up and complain. Should be on a Wednesday night. Just one.
Yeah, not during the week. Yeah.
Of course, who goes to church anymore? I guess.
All right, Curtis Sewers. We saw the email from was it Sarah that sent that?
Yeah, we bugged her. Remember at the meeting, and she got back. I was glad to see something. It's actually being coordinated from Ottawa County.
Yeah. Okay, grading and drainage permit.
I had that there, Linda. Do you have those drainage and permits?
The fill permit?
Yeah, it's the grading and drainage permit. Is that it too?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw it on my desk, so I thought I just.
The zoning board is reviewing it.
Reviewing it?
I think this is a big one here, the gas tax. Is this the one that they've been sending us that they want us to back?
Yeah,
18
everybody,
cents per gallon.
Tim McCog and everybody else.
Yeah.
They changed it because I think the gas now they're talking 11 cents, but the diesel they're going to put 20 cents on. Is what they're doing. The last I heard.
He's just not Michigan. 45 cents in Michigan.
Hmm. It was in the paper the other night that they were going to increment it too.
Right.
So much. It wasn't going to be all at once.
Yeah,
it was going
to be like two increments.
Yeah, at least two or three. I think I'll just pass on it.
Yeah, I'm not backing it. I'm not backing that one.
We'll
so.
Just pass it.
The township highway mileage cert, that's what we said
talked
we're going to
about.
Push off on there. And then we can go to the, Tony left, but... credit card policy users, because Joel, you wanted that?
Yeah, no, I have it set.
Okay. Assistant County Prosecutor Elaine Zuch, she must be John's assistant, I'm assuming, or taking over for him?
I called her I called John probably about 4 weeks ago, and he never called me back, and then she finally called me back and apologized, and she said, call me from now on, she said.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So he must be retiring or getting ready to...
Well, he's been slowing down, and but that's the only reason I put it in there.
Okay.
Because
so,
she sent me an email, and...
So after last meeting, we agreed that I would forward those the lodging tax draft documents on for a legal review, and I did, and he responded and said that... He was going to hand him off to Elaine.
So she must be taking over kind of that.
Yeah.
That's what she kind of told me.
Because isn't he an assistant? He's the assistant prosecutor, right? That's his.
No, there's four or five of them, probably. Who knows?
Right, but I mean, that was his title, too, was an assistant.
Yeah, well, he always did the townships kind of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she must be taking over.
Yep.
That's the only reason I put it in there, because the way it sounded, she would call me from now on.
Thank you. That's
all right.
Great.
Then,
so on the credit cards, do we need to approve those?
Yeah, the users.
So what you have in front of you is the list from the policy which you approved earlier in February. It's just the appendix, and what it does is it lists each card. So trustee card, fire department card, road and maintenance card, and there's only one other card, which is tractor supply. Has an actual card. It meets the definition per the policy as a credit card or credit card account, right? There's no other cards that have a credit.
So the tractor supply is a card, not just an account with it?
No, it's both, but it's a card.
Okay.
You can go into tractor supply, and if you know what to say or smile at the lady, I'm assuming you can charge anything to any of those accounts. It doesn't have to be Jerusalem Township, however.
You can't charge on those accounts. Oh. The only thing they will let you do is use the
tax exempt
on
okay.
that account.
Okay.
The only way you can charge is if you have the card that I have.
The card you got.
Okay, all right. So there are some other accounts that we have.
That do not have a card associated.
They're not cards, they're just accounts.
Absolutely.
And
that's what
doesn't
is.
Doesn't fall into this.
Right. Okay. And you can smile and wink at them, and who knows what happens there. But
gee, that works?
I don't know. It worked for Anna. So for Tractor Supply, it is blank, and I was. I just need to write in. The authorized user, Kevin indicated, would just be Kevin. That's still right? You want to put Eric on? For Tractor Supply.
Oh, for Tractor Supply. I'm the only one who uses it other than Eric does once in the great file where.
So Kevin and Eric?
Yeah.
So that page is blank because that was not when I typed this up. So really, just take your pen and write Kevin and Eric. I don't think there's any need to have us on that, right?
No.
Right, that's not a normal thing.
And then I got my own.
And then the authorized credit card account, that would just be like...
That's Kevin's?
That would be... Kevin is probably the name on the card. Or is it just trustee? So just write Jerusalem Township as the authorized credit card account, because that's what it says on the card. The owner is Jerusalem Township, not
Got
a person.
It. Okay.
And then, so all we need to do is to finalize the credit card policy is to approve this. And I'll just read it, okay?
Okay, sure.
So approve this right, okay? So for the trustee card for Krogan Bank, currently the card is listed as David Bench, Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees, right?
Mm-hmm.
The authorized users for that card would be Dave Bench, Mark Zettler, Bo Miller,
Anybody
and myself.
Take
for the authorized credit card account for the fire department, which is listed as Anthony Parcelletti, the names that he provided to me was Tony Parcelletti, Paul Jones, James Wolf Sr., James Wolf II, Mark Zettler, Bo Miller, Dave Bench, myself, Don Murray and Mike Shea, the two assistant chiefs. The road and maintenance card has Kevin Chapman as the name of the card and then Jerusalem Township trustees below it, but it's in his name. It's Kevin Chapman, Eric Schuffenecker, Mark Settler, Dave Bench, Bo Miller, and myself. And then, of course, lastly, for the tractor supply card, which is just listed as Jerusalem Township as the owner, would just be Kevin Chapman and Eric Schuffenecker. So all this is doing is those are the authorized persons, and they should just write on the receipt or an attached slip, like the fire department does, which you've seen, that they were the user of the card. So per the policy, which we already have passed, if it's an unauthorized transaction or user of the, you know, for that transaction, then we have to speak to the individual, right?
Right. Okay. So, do we need a motion and approval?
Yes, please.
The motion is read.
Do you want us to date these two? Yeah,
I'll just put today's date on it when I type it up.
When you type it up, okay.
Yeah.
I can make a motion as read per Joel on the credit card users.
I'll second that.
Okay. Roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Settler.
Yes.
Motion carried. As of today's date.
And then, Joel, you don't need us to sign anything else.
No, okay. No. The only thing that I remember from the policy, the only thing that needed to be signed was if you had possession of the card, you needed to acknowledge that you have possession of the card per the policy. And thus, the list is just saying that you don't have possession of the card, but you can use the card, but which means you have to get it from the person who has the card, which they acknowledge I have the card and I take responsibility for, you know, letting the authorized people use it. Very exciting stuff.
Okay.
Okay, any other new business?
Dave, last meeting, you, if I understood the email right, you asked us to make two motions for stormwater?
No, one. It was just one.
Oh, it was
just
only one. It was just okay, one. Okay, good, good. All right.
Okay. Nothing else, guys? Public participation. All right, public participation. Anybody got anything? No? Sandy, it's been a while. All right, seeing none. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you.